For the Dallas Morning News, I'm Christopher Nguyen. This is part two of a special report, The Death of Botham Jean, Amber Geiger on Trial. If you haven't listened to the previous episode, go back and start from the beginning to get the whole story. And please note, this episode contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
No cameras were allowed inside as prospective jurors received instructions from Judge Tammy Kemp before filling out a questionnaire and leaving by lunch.
On Friday, September 13th, the jury was selected in the trial of Dallas police officer Amber Geiger, who was charged with murder for killing 26-year-old Botham Jean in his apartment.
Amber Geiger walked into the Frank Crowley Courts building alongside her attorney. On the judge's order, no one is allowed to speak publicly about the high-profile case. But through court records, we now know potentially crucial evidence in Geiger's upcoming trial, including the then-Dallas police officer working almost 14 hours the very day she shot and killed Botham Jean in his apartment.
Jennifer Emily is covering the Amber Geiger trial for the Dallas Morning News. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
So the last time we spoke, you told me more about who Jean was, and we heard from his mother, Allison Jean. Now the jury has been chosen, and testimony is scheduled to begin on September 23rd. So, Jen, before jury selection even started, you asked two veteran criminal lawyers what the prosecution and defense might be looking for.
Yes, I spoke with two Dallas attorneys, Brad Lawler and Russell Wilson. Neither lawyer is involved in the trial of Amber Geiger, but I've watched them in court for more than a decade. They've both tried all kinds of cases and had plenty to say about this one.
I would want somebody who can swear to me they're going to require the defense to do what they're supposed to do.
That's Brad Lawler. He is part of the capital murder unit at the public defender's office.
I would want somebody who promises, well, who first of all understands fully the proposed defense of mistake of fact, and that is you never get there unless you find that the defendant acts reasonably in the mistake, in making the mistake in the first place. So I'd make sure about that. The other thing I think is important is you do want to try to find people who have not been maybe personally affected by the actions of the defendant.
Yeah, as the prosecutor in the case, I'm wanting to know if people are closely aligned with law enforcement in such a way that when they learn Amber Geiger is a police officer, that they would give her a greater benefit of the doubt than they would the ordinary person on the street.
And that's Russell Wilson. He once headed the Conviction Integrity Unit at the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, so he has a clear idea of what a prosecutor will be looking for in a case like this. He's now a defense attorney, and he also knows what kind of jurors Geiger's attorneys are looking for.
Because there's no particular entitlement that police officers are entitled to under the law, although many members of the community will say, hey, no, if it's a cop or a police officer, I believe him. I also want to know how they felt about, you know, their home environment. And I'll probably have questions that tended to, I certainly would want to know if they'd ever had experiences dealing with a potential home intruder or anything like that. And I'm trying to go away from jurors who I believe would identify with Ms. Geiger. And I'm trying to go toward jurors who I believe would identify with Mr. Botham, which would be, you know, the homeowner sleep in the bed. And so if you had, for example, previously had an incident where you had confronted an intruder, you know, or came and had called the police for a burglary call in your house, then I might be concerned that may make you tend to identify more with the defendant. And I think a lot of times jurors tend to lean toward the person whose personal experiences are closest to their own.
How hard is this case going to be for jurors to, you know, put aside the pressure from the community
and their own beliefs, and you know, not talk to their spouses, their kids, or anybody else about it, to just really focus on the evidence and reach a conclusion. It seems like it is more than even more than most cases. There's a lot of pressure here. How hard is it going to be?
I think it's going to be very difficult for a jury. I would not at all be surprised if a jury is unable to reach a verdict.
Yeah, I think it will be a challenge. Anytime there's a loss of life, every murder case, one of the questions I certainly ask is just the fact that there's a loss of life makes a lot of emotions come out. You can't help but feel for the Botham family. And so folks are going to have to struggle with, I think, a lot of issues beyond those that are actually in the jury charge. So we'll have kind of a statement of the law, and then you'll have kind of what I would call a sentiment of the case. So I think jurors are going to have to have a challenge with that. And I do think it will be a difficult case to deal with. But I think you can find folks in the community that are able to do it. I mean, we've gotten verdicts out of so many other cases. And I do think it's important that the community be able to trust the process, that and that the process is transparent. I'm hoping that the court gives lots of access to the media, because people are watching the case and people want to see what happens. And regardless of what happens in the case, I think it's important that we as a community have confidence in the process.
I think the biggest issue for the defense is this, and we've kind of already talked about it. Clearly, Amber Geiger was at fault. She's the one that pulled the trigger causing the death of Botham Jean. But under our law, if she did that through the mistaken belief she was in her own apartment at the time, the law excuses criminal prosecution, period. That's the biggest hurdle, I think, that the defense will be looking at in this case. The natural inclination of a juror would be to say, I want her to be responsible in some way. Well, and again, that, you know, responsibility, fault, is determined in the civil courthouse, not in the criminal courthouse. The criminal courthouse determines whether or not there has been a crime committed. And under our law, it is an absolute defense if the culpability required for the offense is negated by mistake of fact.
You know, I think that's such a I do agree mistake of fact to certainly be a central issue, but again, it's very difficult to reconcile, even if you look, for example, with the case of Carolyn Davis and the person, or the many times where we see the intoxicated driver or the kid that's racing, or folks that engage in a variety of different conducts that do cause death that end up seeing criminal prosecutions. And so, you know, I think as a juror, when they say that you bring your experience, you weigh those situations in your mind. They certainly aren't the evidence in that particular case, but you know, as a practical matter, I think folks often draw on their personal experiences.
Jen, it's clear that nothing in this case is going to be simple, but what we know is that this jury will now decide whether Geiger shooting Jean is a crime.
Yes, and if it is a crime, is it murder? Or is it something else? Or is Geiger not guilty?
And we'll unpack all of that in our next episode. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Please help support our journalism and new projects like this one by visiting dallasnews.com/audio. We have an exclusive offer there just for listeners. If you're looking for more of our audio reporting, subscribe to our daily news briefings and special reports by searching for the Dallas Morning News on any podcast platform. This episode was produced by Benjamin Robinson, Jennifer Emily, Marcia Alert, and Christopher Wynn, with editing by Matt Peterson. Our music is by Jason Reimer. And special thanks to our partners at NBC5. Until next time, thanks for listening.